And so for the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to study. So we had studied tongues, we had studied healing. So we studied healing, we studied tongues, and now we're going to do 3 weeks, not on prophecy, but just a survey of prophecy in the Old Testament. We'll do a survey of prophecy in the Old Testament. All right. So for the next 3 weeks that we're going to do that. Now, I've been wondering how do we actually do this class? Do we have a lot of information, or do you actually want to learn how to study also during the class? What would you like? Would you like to know, understand prophecy in the Old Testament? Would you like to know how to study if you were to study prophecy in the Old Testament?
Both.
Both? Okay, let's do that. So let's study prophecy in the Old Testament by learning how we would do something like that. All right, so any suggestions? Your friend or your neighbor comes up to you and says, "Hey, I want to know a little bit more about prophecy. I want to know a little bit more about prophecy. What does the Bible say about prophecy?" Where do you begin if you had to study? What do you think? No wrong answers, right? This is just where would you begin? So, just a survey of what the class would do. How would you do that?
Foretelling or forthtelling?
Okay, so you'd ask the question, foretelling or forthtelling? Foretelling or forthtelling? Forthtelling. I would abstract this question down to what is prophecy? Right? So I have to answer this question. Anything else? Any other questions that you might want to answer in your research?
Probably want to know whether they're more interested in the things that have been prophesied that have come true, or whether they're interested in things that are yet to be fulfilled.
Okay, so if they just want to know, they just want to know what is the actual exercise of prophecy. What are prophets and what is prophecy? What are some questions in your research that you'd want to answer? So one is, what is prophecy? Is it foretelling or forthtelling? What other things would you like to know when you're doing the research? What questions would you have in your mind?
Who is a prophet?
Who is a prophet? Okay. What other questions would you have in your mind? Good.
Do we have prophets today?
Okay. See, I'm doing Old Testament, so I'm writing from right to left. But this is probably one of the last questions I'd ask. Once I understand who a prophet is, what prophecy is, this really is one of the last questions I'd ask, right? What are its implications today? But that's good. So I would say this is the implications question. All right. What else? What are some other questions I'd like to ask? This is like Southwest. You're the last group to board, so you'd have to split your family up. Unless someone is willing to exchange seats. Okay. Okay, you both got aisle seats. No, you got a middle seat. He got a middle seat. Yeah.
We've got middle seats.
No, don't worry. This is exactly like Southwest. You both got middle seats. Okay. So what else?
How is it determined that a person is?
Okay, who is a prophet, and who gets to be a prophet? Okay.
Why is prophecy important?
Why is prophecy important? Okay. Okay, I think we have a lot more questions than maybe we could answer in our own study, but this is good. This is a great start. These are great starter questions. So what I would do is, if I were to study, I'd first ask questions like these. Just put them somewhere, right? These are the questions I'm probably have in my mind as I'm reading. All right. Next, let's see the second. What's the second thing we do? The second thing I do, is it okay if I erase this? We're good? Okay. The second thing I would do is I'd ask, what do I think the answers are to some of these questions. Right? For example, what is prophecy and what is a prophet? Where do I stand today with what I know? Right? Because I need to have a baseline. I need to have a baseline, and then my baseline can be either corrected. Maybe I have the wrong ideas. Maybe my baseline can direct me to my research. Maybe my baseline can actually be built upon. Like I have the correct ideas maybe in my research, but I just have a small view of something much bigger, right? So what I want to do is the next thing I want to do is ask questions like, what do I think these answers are? So if I had to ask, what is prophecy, right? What is prophecy? It doesn't have to be right. I just want to know where I am. What do we think prophecy is? It doesn't have to be right. It's just, what do you think?
It's foretelling of future events.
Okay. Foretelling future events. Okay.
Direction of how we should live.
So let me connect it a little bit more into prophecy. So direction for how I should live, would you call it instructions from God or instructions?
Instructions from God.
Instructions from God. Okay. Just making sure. For the present time, right? Instructions for present time from God. Okay. What else?
I guess along with that, Jerry, it's like Jeremiah, a calling to repentance, which would probably be similar to.
So like 2A? You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take it out of this. I'd like to maybe put it out here and say call to repentance. And because sometimes there's call to repentance as instructions for the present, but call to repentance because else this is going to happen to you. Right? So anything else?
It's being God's mouthpiece, speaking the words of God.
Yeah, good. Very good. Irrespective of time, right? Just speaking the words of God. Okay. Anything else?
Could be words of warning or words of imminent blessing.
Yeah, it could be words of warning. So it could be future or blessing. Future or present. Okay.
Jerry, I don't know how to put this, but it's revealing that there is a God.
Okay. So I would say that I would call it revealing the identity of God. And the reason I say that is because the scope we're looking at is biblical prophecy. And so you could have people that said that they're speaking on behalf of another God, right? So if they're claiming prophecy, they're not saying that, like an atheist won't prophesy. And there's not many atheists in the Bible. It's really, do they really believe in the true God or not, right? So I'd say, yeah, revealing the identity of God. If I had to reword yours, but yeah, good. We don't have to add more if there's no more, but if you have some ideas, I'd love to throw it on, because yeah.
I don't know if someone already said this, but in some cases, a call to worship, so along with revealing the identity of God, something along those lines.
Okay.
In the case of Miriam or Moses.
Okay. Okay, call to repentance or worship.
Is it true or false? What's the prophecy?
Well,
so,
but what is prophecy, though, is the question.
Is it truth or... Yes, but if there's false prophecy, there's true prophecy.
Okay. How would I put it into an answer for what is prophecy? Any suggestions? It could be...
The outcome of it would reveal whether it was true. Because if it's true, it would have actualized.
Okay, yes. So it could be... what is prophecy? Prophecy could be speaking the words of God...
So,
or
the warnings of,
or pretending, pretending to speak the word of God.
Well, their minds are not pretending because they're false.
Well, we have no idea what they're thinking.
Yeah.
We have no idea what they're thinking, right?
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah.
They could be speaking words of a lying spirit or some other spirit, right?
That's exactly it. And that's what we've seen in scripture. So maybe, yeah, pretending, or what's a good word? It's not pretending. It's
imposter prophets or...
It's a... The verb is not coming to my mind. I'm sorry. My brain is going to keep stumbling over that. All right. Presuming is what I was thinking. Presuming? Yeah. Presuming. That's a good word.
Great. Could we also put in revelation of the past or explanation of the past into it?
No. See, the definition that Jeremy P, not Jeremy B, sounds very similar too. If I was Arab, I'd be saying the same thing. If I was, yeah.
JP.
Yeah, barking lot. Bebsy. Okay. And so speaking the words of God sometimes captures a lot of that, but explanation of the past. Yeah, explanation of the past. Okay.
Commandments.
Sure.
Commandments.
Commandments. I think it tucks under what you said earlier, instructions for the present time.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So I just had a question.
I will ask the questions. No, I'm joking.
So speaking the words of God, is it, like, would it also be, like, the giving of new revelation from God? For instance, speaking the words of God, couldn't you technically speak the words of God by just reading the Bible or reading... Like, even past prophecies which haven't been fulfilled? Or,
mm-hmm.
Like, is that all considered prophecy? Or
okay.
Is it more of a new revelation? From?
Can be new or old?
Yeah.
Okay. So then what we're doing is we're starting to capture a lot of those under over here. So good way of summarizing it. All right. Now that we kind of have an idea collectively what we think of prophecy as a class, what's our next step? What do I do next?
Do some research.
Okay. But what do I do?
Find examples in the Bible.
Well, what if I don't capture...
Obey. If you determine it, this is
what you need to capture.
Yeah, if I don't capture the right examples or...
So
to understand it.
400 and some odd examples, how do you narrow it down?
Well, how do I get the 400 odd examples?
Concordance.
Good. Okay. Good. Very, very good. So one easy thing to do is if you have a concordance, many people use a concordance for the wrong thing. Many people use a concordance as a dictionary. A concordance is not a dictionary. A concordance will tell you every instance of a word in the Bible. right? They'll try to synthesize every instance of a certain word. So you'd go to concordance, and what words are you going to be looking for? Prophecy, okay?
Revealed.
Well, do the easy ones.
Prophets.
Prophet, yeah. Yeah, reveal is not bad. Reveal. Revelation or reveal, okay? What else?
Word.
Sorry? Word. Oof, you may not be able to plumb that. We need to make it. We need to make it digestible, right? Even revelation or reveal might be hard, actually.
Prophesying,
yeah.
Judgment.
Huh? Judgment might be hard because you'll have too much information. Then you won't be able to like you'll. It's like when we had the storm, and Matt, he turned two of our trees into a pile of wood chips. We still haven't gotten through it yet. Right? Because there's just so much mulch. Mm. Right?
What about,
Yeah.
What about a name if we knew some of the prophet names?
Well, that's working, but that's going to limit you.
Okay.
So if you do this and you do this, you might actually capture everyone.
A wider
net, but not, revelation is good, but I think you might want to grab low-hanging fruit first. Otherwise, you might have too much data and you can't get everything done, right? So like, word is a good one. What was the other one? A judgment. Right? Those are good. What's going to happen with word is the verb to speak is going to probably sometimes come in under word. And how many times do people speak in the Bible? A lot. Right? And he said, and he spoke, and God said, right? Oof.
You could do a parenthesis search for the word of the Lord, which would be...
Okay, word, yes, word of the Lord. This might be harder to find if you have a book, like a concordance, a low-tech concordance. Yes?
I don't know, can you do phrases? Like, could you do a...
Well, in a concordance, if you have a physical book, it's you can't do phrases. If you have an electronic search, you could do phrases.
So you couldn't do
manifold? You can, yes. But I'm assuming you have a physical book. Right? If you have an electronic searching thing, you can do much more complex searches. But I'd say start with prophecy or prophet and go that way.
John also said prophesy or prophesying.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is, yeah, prophesy. So prophesy as the verb.
Well, a physical concordance will give you the root.
Yes.
That'll capture all the...
That'll capture this. You will be able to get this through a physical concordance. Because they're all... One is a verb. This is a noun. And this is a noun. This is the person who speaks. What they do is they prophesy. And they prophesy prophecies. Right? A prophet prophesies prophecies.
Right.
Yeah. It's better than Peter Piper. Okay. All right. So this is what we're going to do. That's where it begins. So what you need to do is then start looking at every instance and start documenting and saying, what are they doing over here? Remember what we did with tongues? What are they doing here? What's going on? Let me keep what I know to the side for now and let me just examine what's going on. Now, what is our process by which we start doing our research? Where do we start? Where in the Bible do we begin? Why? Yep. Yes.
They start
like that. You know, when you get to Luke 24, right, verse 44, Jesus appeared to his disciples and he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." When Jesus spoke with the Pharisees too, he said things like, well, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. Those of you who have been in my classes, you know I'm going to suggest this. I'm going to suggest start with the works of Moses, right? Why? Because Moses is the plumb line of everything else. Everything else has to be measured back to Moses. Second, I'd say, look at the prophets. And when I say Moses, I actually mean Moses all the way down to 2 Kings. Okay, Moses and the former prophets. But everything, all of this is Moses. This is Genesis through Deuteronomy. This is the plumb line for everything. So if you need to find a baseline of what anything is in the scripture, you're going to find it in Moses. You are. Anything. You're going to find the beginnings in Moses of all of that. Then go to the former prophets. What do I mean by that? You're going to start in Joshua. And you're going to get to 2 Kings. In prophets, I mean, start at Isaiah. And get to, someone help me here. What's the last prophet? Malachi. Who said that? Good. Malachi. And then do the writings. The writings are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Ruth, Daniel, Nehemiah, Ezra,
Esther.
Yeah, good. Esther. Sorry?
Chronicles.
And 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Yeah. Good. So that's the process I'd suggest. Right? Start with these. And once you have this, you will have a dictionary to draw from when you get to the New Testament. This is your dictionary. So when you see the word prophet in the New Testament, you're going to go to this dictionary and you're going to ask, well, what do they mean by prophet? I should find my definition in this research. Because the New Testament words assume a knowledge of the Old Testament. Make sense so far? All right. So I just wanted to spend some time on method, because that's what we're going to follow, this method. So when we say, let's do an Old Testament survey, really what we're leading to is the question you asked, Brenda, which is, are there prophets today? Or what does prophecy mean today? You know, the implications question. But I can't get to that until I understand the New Testament. And I can't understand the New Testament until I understand the Old Testament. Fair? I hope the recording is continuing. It is. Okay, great. All right. So let's start, and let's start at the beginning. So what I did is I did search for certain keywords to start us off. I did search for for prophets. I searched for the word seer, S-E-E-R. Because the Bible says that at the time of the kings and the time of the judges, the end of the judges and the kings, prophets were known as seers. Mm-hmm. So seer means someone who can see. Obviously, I looked for prophet, but I looked for the root. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, you can look for roots, because Hebrew words are made up of, generally made up of 3 consonants. And based on the vowels you add, they can be verbs. Based on the stuff in the beginning and stuff in the ending, they can be verbs, they can be adjectives, they can be nouns, they can be participles, etc. But if I look for like the root for prophet, I can find prophesy, prophecy, prophet, prophetess. I can find all of those things. I also looked for what Sinana said, man of God. And yeah, that's as far as I went. Yes.
How does oracle relate to prophecy?
Yeah, that word oracle is really used very rarely. It starts out with Balaam. And it's not the word oracle. It's the word melech. Melech, which means the discussion, the direction, the rule, the governance, right? But in English, we've turned it into oracle for some reason. It's very interesting.
How was that used to describe Balaam?
The oracle of Balaam. In one place, he actually, it says the oracle.
And it's the same as king, like the same consonants?
Yes, yes. Or to rule. But it might actually not be king or rule. We can talk about that offline. I have some interesting things to share.
Yeah.
Sorry?
So when you did Oracle there...
I didn't do Oracle.
No, no. To the right of Oracle, you had MLK.
Yeah, it's the three consonants for the word Oracle, which is
okay.
Also the three consonants.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. You just look for prophet, look for seer, and you should have 90-95% of the data, right? And anyone who's doing Hebrew searches and all of that, come talk to me. I can help you with a little bit more advanced stuff, all right? So once I start searching for prophecy or, you know, prophesy, or I look for prophet, what I need to do is I need to start processing the data. So what I'm going to do today is we're going to process the information that we get from Genesis through Numbers, because it's going to form the baseline of everything else we do. So the next two classes, we're actually going to go through a lot more material, but you're going to have the categories already out here in Genesis through Numbers. And if there's a category that doesn't fit, we can talk about it. Maybe we might have to add a category, but you're going to get most of the data. Okay, so let's start at the very beginning, as Jeremy Barfit said. No, Parfit. I get the initials mixed up. I just realized after I said it that it sounds like Barf. I didn't mean to say that. I meant just the accent of P and B. That's all. Okay, so I'm going to stop joking. Just be serious and move forward. Okay, Genesis 20 and verse 7 is the first instance of the word prophet.
Oh, okay.
Genesis 20 and verse 7. Can someone read it out quickly? We have half an hour and we have to get from Genesis through Deuteronomy. So let's make this work. Genesis 20 and verse 7.
Turn the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die and all who are you?
Oof. Okay. What's the context of what's happening over here? Can someone help me?
It's Abraham with Abimelech.
Okay, good.
Back Abimelech, and he has asked Sarah to acknowledge herself as his sister, and Abimelech takes her into his household and then discovers that...
How does he discover it?
Abraham and Sarah were affectionately...
No,
that was Jacob and...
No, that was Isaac and Rebecca.
Isaac and Rebecca. I don't know. Can't remember.
Can anyone help?
Sorry.
God came to him.
Yes, in a what? Oh, okay. So who's the prophet here? Ah, okay. So Abimelech hears God in a dream, and then God says, what?
What are you doing or something?
Exactly. What are you doing? This is somebody else's wife, and he's like, God, you know I'm innocent. I didn't know that. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have done anything. And then what does God say? The verse that was just read.
Return the man's wife.
Yeah.
What? Go to him? What? Return his wife? Because he's a?
Prophet.
He's a prophet. Return his wife because he is a prophet. What does that even mean? So if he's not a prophet, he can keep his wife? And what is a prophet going to do? He's going to prophesy.
He's going to pray for him.
He's going to
pray for him.
Pray for him. What is the first verb attached to a prophet in the Bible?
Prayer.
So what's one form of prophesying over here? What does a prophet do, by the way?
Pray.
A prophet prophesies. Right? But what is his prophesying?
Praying.
He could have said he's a priest, he will intercede for you, right? Does he say that?
No.
No, he says he's a prophet, he will
pray for you.
Data point number one.
Is that not a mediation or an intercession though?
It is, but here's the thing. The prophet is interceding. Usually when we think of intercession, who do we think of in terms of office?
Priests,
exactly. Priests intercede and mediate. Prophets
prophesy.
Right.
And kings
rule.
Exactly. So what does a prophet do? A prophet prophesies. But what is a prophet doing?
He's praying.
He's praying and he's mediating, right? So pray, also mediate. And only when he prays is God going to do what? What does the verse say?
Heal Abimelech of his.
Yeah. It's this man's prayer that is going to allow Abimelech to live. The first instance of a prophet in the Bible is a mediator for the life of someone else. All right? Something, a data point to keep in your research. Is prophecy what I think it is? And how does it actually begin in Scripture? Okay, next place, Exodus 7, verse 1. By the way, if you want a parallel portion for this in your notes, Psalm 105 and verse 16.
Sorry,
for this one. Psalm 105, verse 16. The psalmist is going through the history. And over here, he pretty much paraphrases what God is saying. He says, do not touch my anointed ones and do not cause harm to my prophets. But he's actually referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Psalm 105, verse 16. Verse 15, maybe? 15? I think the Hebrew Bible, English Bible is messing me up. Sorry.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Are we assuming the Hebrew word we're using here is always the same?
Yes. I'm not doing so. I don't do my research in English. I do the, so it's actually Nabi or Navi in Hebrew. Good question. Yeah, I do my research in Hebrew, Greek, but you know, all of us don't have that. So I'm trying to make it, I'm trying to say, okay, if I didn't have access to those things and had access to a concordance, what would I look for? This is the equivalent that you'd look for. It's much easier because it's all just the same word otherwise. Okay, good question. All right, Exodus 7 verse 1, what does it say?
And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet.
Okay, so what is, who's the prophet over here now?
Aaron.
Yeah, this is Exodus 7 verse 1, right? What is the work, what's the work of Aaron?
He's to be for mouthpiece.
So he speaks the words of? Yeah. To whom?
To Pharaoh.
To Pharaoh.
But, sorry, in this verse 2, it says...
Yep, I was just going to get there, yeah.
Okay.
Moses speaks to Aaron, but what is more... Moses speak to Aaron. That's why I had a blank there, Jeremy.
Okay, sorry.
Moses speaks the words of God to Aaron, and Aaron then speaks the words of God to...
Moses.
To Pharaoh. So it's God, Moses, Aaron, Pharaoh. So Aaron is Moses' prophet, and Moses is God's prophet. Okay? To Aaron. And Aaron to Pharaoh. Okay. Yeah, we have the arrows there. Okay. So the speaks the word of someone to someone is being a prophet. That's exactly what you had said before. And with regards to prophecy, we said speaking the words of God. What does a prophet do? Speaks the word of someone to somebody else. It doesn't have to be future, past, present. It's just delivering the message as is. Does that make sense? So this is one we're a little bit more familiar with. So chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. If you go to chapter 4, you don't have to go there, but for your notes.
In Exodus,
chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, God says to Moses, Moses, I'm going to put my words in you, and you put your words in the mouth of Aaron. You put your words in the mouth of Aaron. So this is important. You'll see this later as we get to Deuteronomy. Words in the mouth of. Okay, that's an important phrase. So keep track of some interesting phrases too. Next is Exodus 15 and verse 20. Exodus 15 and verse 20.
Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand and went after her with tambourines and dancing.
All right, keep going.
And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea."
All right, so now we don't see a prophet, we see a
prophetess.
It's not a nabi, it's a naviyah, which is a female version of a prophet, right? So we see a prophetess. What does this prophetess do? She sings, exactly. She sings. You see that? Mm-hmm. So prophecy can be praying. Prophecy can be speaking the words of someone to someone. But prophecy can also be
singing.
But what is she singing and to whom is she singing?
She sings to the Lord.
No.
I will sing to the Lord.
Yeah, but what does the narrator say? She sings
to them.
To them. So the them, I looked, it's not feminine plural, it's masculine plural. And in Hebrew, if you have a group that is mixed, you have masculine. If you have a group that is particularly feminine, only ladies, you have feminine. Does that make sense? So if I have males only, or I have males and females, I'd use the masculine plural them. If I have females only, it would be the feminine plural them. It's a masculine plural them. And so it's to the congregation. And what is the content of what she sings? So these are the questions we have to ask. What is this person doing? Who are they doing it to? What are they actually saying? What is she saying?
She's telling them to sing to the Lord.
I know, but what should they sing? Is it?
The triumph of the Lord.
Yeah, but where is that from?
It's from
the
Moses' song.
Moses' song. So new information or old information?
Old.
Old, right? It's from Song of Moses, chapter 15, verse 1. Is that fair? It's important to ask, right? That's the question you asked, Luke. Is it new information or is it old information? Right? So is she prophesying new information over here? She isn't. She's prophesying information that they just previously sang. But when she does it and she sings it, she's called a prophetess. Any questions so far? I'm speeding through the analysis. I took some time to like look at it, think about it, process it. So it's not going to take you 30 seconds to do it.
Yeah.
So can it still be the same? Sorry, you've got it previously God, Moses, Aaron, Pharaoh, seeing as she is just repeating almost word for word what Moses is saying. Could she be Moses' words?
Exactly.
But if she's repeating what someone else has already said, why would she be called a prophetess?
Because
it's just like someone tells me something and I repeat it. What about this one?
But maybe our idea of prophecy is limited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe our idea of prophecy needs to change. Our definition of prophecy needs to change.
Oh.
Right? Our definition of prophecy needs to change. But it's not, you can't just stop here. Then you have an incomplete definition of prophecy. If I just say, well, if I repeat it to somebody else, I'm a prophet, well, that's incomplete because there's so much more that's going to be said later on about how you finish up the definition. The cake's not baked yet, right? So all we need to do is before we come up with the theory of what prophecy is, we just need to do the analysis. What's happening over here? Write some notes down. What's happening over here? Write some notes down. What's happening over here? Write some notes down. Because guess what? Even if you don't have a conclusion, you at least have the jigsaw puzzle pieces. So when you're in any other context or you're working with somebody else who has the same interest, you're not starting from scratch. You've done kind of the groundwork. You can say, I still don't know what prophecy is, but I've studied all of the portions and here are my thoughts. Right? So as you study God's word in community, you can start to compare notes. You see the usefulness of doing that? And what we did is I cheated. I took you through like this analysis in 15 seconds. It doesn't take 15 seconds. It probably takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. Because you read it, you're like, okay, I need to go do something else. So I'm washing the dishes and I'm thinking about it. And I'm thinking about something else I've read, and thinking about something else I've read. I'm like, oh yeah, I never thought about that. I need to take a note about that and go back. So even when I was doing the, what word should I be looking for? I just had to think, like, what are some of the ways prophets are talked about, right? And as we're reading, I'm like, oh yeah, Samuel was called a man of God, so I have to write down man of God. I read somewhere else, oh yeah, there was a seer. I need to write down that word. So I just went to like my phone, I went to notes, and I was like, prophecy research, look for seer, look for man of God, look for prophetess, right? So it doesn't happen just like sitting there looking at the screen for like, or looking at a book for 15 seconds. It doesn't happen. You kind of have to let it churn a little bit. All right, next.
Jerry, sorry, before we go on.
Yeah.
The psalm reference that pertained to Genesis 27, what was that
song? That's not song, that's a prayer.
No. What was the psalm?
105,
sorry.
105:15?
105:15, yes.
Thank you.
It so happens it's also a song. And I have things in my ear. Okay. All right, next one. Numbers 11, verse 25. This is an interesting one.
25?
Numbers 11, verse 25. But you know what? I'd say read 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. So 25 to 29. Because there are multiple mentions of prophets from 25 to 29.
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied.
That's number one, okay.
But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them, and they were among those registered. But they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied.
Number two.
And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying.
Number three.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, from his youth, said, my lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to them, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them.
Perfect. Four instances of prophesying and prophets. And we need to make sense of what's going on over here. What's happening here? And how are prophets functioning over here? Numbers 11, verse 25 to 29.
The purpose of these elders was to help Moses in judgment.
Good. So what are you doing first? You're actually asking what's the context. That's perfect. That's step number one is what's happening around. So read up above and read below, right? So Moses is tired of the complaining. And they're complaining because they want to have meat. They're tired of manna. They want to eat meat. And Moses is like, just kill me already. Seriously. Right? I'm just done with this. And so God tells him to bring these 70, no, to bring these elders. He doesn't say 70. Bring elders. And he's going to do something. He's going to show them what he's going to do. So there are two stories bumped up against each other. One is these elders around the tabernacle, and the second story is the quail around the encampment. Both of these groups have the Spirit of the Lord, or the wind of the Lord, doing something. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon these elders over here. It says he took some of the Spirit. That's not correct. It says, and he removed the Spirit from Moses, and he put it upon these elders. So God has come down. He's removed the spirit from Moses and put it upon these elders. And a spirit of the Lord, or a wind of the Lord, same word, sprung up and brought these quail later on to the people in the encampment. Now something's happening over here. This one's going to be a little tricky if you're going to use your English Bibles. And so one of the things you have to understand is the limitation of using an English Bible is our translations. But that's okay. We're not meant to sit in our little corners and study on our own. So we put a big circle around this, come to church and go, what's going on over here? Right? This doesn't make sense. So we can analyze it further. So what do you think is happening over here? What does it look like, at least from the data you have, from the English translations you have? What do you think is happening?
people prophesy when the Spirit rests on them?
Yeah, the elders are prophesying.
Yeah.
But what do you think they're doing when they're prophesying? Because we have to understand what prophesying is, right? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? No, that's Joshua saying that they've got to stop. But what are the what are these elders doing?
They're bearing the burden of the people.
Correct, but what are they actually doing at that moment? So far, we have praying, we have speaking the word of, and we have singing. The next passage we have, it doesn't really tell us. So what can we fall back on for our definitions? Yeah, the previous three. That's all we have, right? You know what I mean? I only have these three. So it either has to be that they're praying over there, they're speaking the word of the Lord, or they're singing. One of the three. Does that make sense? And what they're singing also is the word of the Lord. So they're either speaking the word of the Lord, or they're singing the word of the Lord. It's just two different ways of delivering the word of the Lord.
It doesn't say that they're it doesn't say what they're prophesying. It just says the 70 elders, the Spirit fell upon them, and then they prophesied. But...
Correct. So if I have, if I see the word prophesy now.
Right.
What data do I have up until Numbers chapter 11 to help me understand what prophesying means?
Yeah.
Oh. Right? I have these instances, Genesis 20 verse 7, Exodus 7 verse 1, and Exodus 15 verse 20. They're either praying or mediating, or they're speaking the word of the Lord, or they're singing the word of the Lord.
Okay.
Now, if they're speaking or singing the word of the Lord, then comes Luke's question, are they saying something new that God hasn't revealed to Moses, or are they repeating what Moses is saying, right? That's the tricky question. Now, it says something else also over there. It says that they prophesied and then...
But they did not continue.
They did not continue. Does anyone have a non-ESV translation?
No.
Yeah, what does that say?
They did not do it again.
They did not do it again. Okay, anyone else?
They never did so again.
They never did so again. You know what it actually literally says? And they did not add to it.
Wow.
And they did not add to it. At that point in time, we were like, I don't know what this means. I need to write this down. Did not add to it. With a question mark. Does it mean that they did not continue doing it? Or did they not add words to it? I don't know. Maybe as I keep reading, the answer will come to me. Does that make sense? That's what you have to do. If you don't know, first of all, you don't know what, and they did not add to it. You wouldn't have known. That's fine. Come to church, you're like, hey, Jason, I was reading this and it says this. What does it mean? Hey, Jerry, I was reading this, right? What is it different in the Greek or Hebrew? Can you just tell me, right? You have the phrase, and you're like, you know what, I haven't studied this enough to know what this means, but now you know it. So in your notebook, you write, did not add to it, question mark, and continue reading your Bible. That's all you can do, right? Because maybe, hint, it might be explained later on in the Mosaic text, right? Let's now keep reading. So, sorry, any questions so far? Content-wise and method-wise, are we okay?
Mm-hmm.
So far, okay. The next one is Numbers 12, verse 6 to 8. Just after that. It's just after that.
And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with the servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household.
All right. So what's the context? So Jeremy told us, first the question we have to ask is, what's going on over here? What's happening?
Miriam and
Aaron are complaining about what? What's their complaint?
The Ethiopian wife.
Well, that's the root of their complaint, but what is the complaint? You can read, it's not a pop quiz.
They're jealous of Moses. Moses, yeah. Is Moses the only one that can hear from God?
Is that what it says?
No. So, yeah, the man Moses was, hang on a sec, And has the Lord indeed spoken only through...
As the Lord... It's not whether people can hear God or not. Guess what? When they were outside the mountain, lots of people heard God. That's not the question. The question is, has the Lord only spoken through Moses? Because guess who else was a prophet over here before? Aaron? And now who's a prophet over here? Miriam. Oh, we're prophets too. Right? Moses, you're not so great. We're prophets too. What makes you think you're so great? I'm a prophet. He's a prophet. You're a prophet. We're all equal. Right? That's the problem. What's the root of the issue? The root of the issue is the Cushite wife he had. But they're questioning his role over here and saying, hey, there's no difference between being here and being here. Does that make sense? There's no difference between being here and being here. So Moses, being meek, doesn't say anything. God speaks for him. And what does he generally say? What does God actually say?
You're my worst.
What's Moses is different.
Yes. Moses is different, guys. Everyone else, I speak to them through text messages, right? Or through Facebook posts, but not Moses. So he says, I speak in a vision, I speak in riddles, I speak in dreams, but it's not with Moses. Moses, I speak face to face, and he beholds what? He beholds the form of the Lord. He beholds the form of the Lord. Okay? Moses is unlike any of you. So don't start comparing yourself to Moses. So even within the prophets, there seems to be different kinds of prophets. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Not all prophets are equal. There's the Moses-like prophet, and there's the rest of them.
So you're saying they're all prophets, even Miriam?
Yes, it says. The prophet is Miriam, Exodus chapter 15. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the same just because they're both called prophets.
Right?
Right? They're not the same. One is a prophet like Moses. But God doesn't speak face to face with anybody else. And we're going to see later in Deuteronomy that there's a reason why there's only one other person that can fill this category later on and actually surpass him. Every other prophet sits somewhere in this realm of either repeating what Moses has said or being revealed to in visions and sayings. Okay, but never being spoken to face to face where they see God.
I think we could see this category when we think of priests. So you have a high priest and then the other priests below, or even Melchizedek, the difference in priests. Just because you're a priest doesn't mean you're all high priests.
That's
correct. You're right. What the good thing, the benefit that the priests have is that people could distinguish that because of, one, they are actually called a high priest, and they have that role once a year where they can go into the holiest place. That wasn't as clear over here, right? And even for us as readers, there's no like high prophet and prophet, right? So we almost explicitly have to state it, where for a high priest, we don't have to state it. But you're right. Just because a priest is there doesn't mean, even within the Levites, not everyone could do the same job, right? But that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that the requirement of holiness suddenly drops based on the job. The high priest had to be holy, and the priest that's sacrificing the lamb had to be holy, and the one cleaning the place had to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It didn't drop the requirements for them, just their role change. Does that make sense? But the resume in terms of their holiness and functional requirement, functional holiness had to be the same. Anyway. Yeah.
Question. I know we're pressed for time, but in verse 7b he says, it appears on the surface like he's almost given this reason. He says, Moses is different, and then he makes a comment, he is faithful in all my house.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that comment, is that comment saying not everyone's as faithful as Moses, or is that just a general...
I think it's a general comment, because when we read through the Exodus story, God deciding to speak with Moses face to face comes before Moses' faithfulness to the Lord. He doesn't pick Aaron and put his words directly into Aaron's mouth. He picks Moses and he puts his word into Moses' mouth. So God's choosing Moses for this role comes first, and Moses' faithfulness is a response to that. And he's not always faithful.
Well, is he making a comment?
Yes.
When he's answering this quibbling with these other prophets?
But the thing is, I don't think she's any less faithful in any of the stories. Same thing with, but Aaron, yes, because of the golden calf and all of that, right? But I don't think his qualification here is based on his faithfulness, based on the narrative. Faithfulness seems to follow God's choosing him for this role, according to what I'm reading. All right. The next one is Numbers 22, verse 8 to 13.
And he said to them, "Spend the night here, and I will bring word back to you, as Yahweh may speak to me." And the leaders of Moab stayed with Balaam. And then God came to Balaam and said to him, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent word to me. Behold, there is a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I may be able to fight against them and drive them out." And God said to Balaam, "Do not go with him. Do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, "Go back to your land, for Yahweh has refused to allow me to go with you."
Okay. If you look for prophets, you are not going to find the story. Because Balaam is not called a prophet over here. He's called a prophet later on in the New Testament. Okay? But that also, he's associated with false prophets. He's not called a prophet. But something interesting is happening here. Nobody tells us who this guy is. He appears out of nowhere. And he seems to know that the God that he needs to be speaking with is Yahweh. And so they say, "You need to do this." And he says, "I need to check with Yahweh." So he seems to know. But when the narrator speaks to us, it doesn't say that Yahweh appeared to him. It says, who appeared to him? In the night, in the vision. God, Elohim. The narrator is actually winking with us a little, winking here a little bit. Why? Because when God appears to Moses, he says, "This is who I am. This is my identity." Right? But the narrator over here is not saying, "And the Lord spoke to Balaam." It's saying God appeared to Balaam and said this. It's almost like God's keeping a distance with this man, but he's actually telling him what to do. And look at 23 and verse 5.
And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall be."
All right. The Lord put a word. Does it look like that language? "I'll put my words in your mouth, and you put his words." Okay.
So in a sense, then Balaam is actually prophesying.
Correct. Correct. But he is prophesying not as being on God's side, though. Mm-hmm. When you turn to, put this in your note, 2 Peter 2, verse 15 and 16, and then later in Revelation also, it uses Balaam as a model of a false prophet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so God is putting his word so that he doesn't curse, but Balaam is not actually seen as a true prophet of the Lord. Yes.
But we don't have a record of him actually cursing the people of Israel.
He doesn't. He never does it. But he attempts to do it. God keeps telling him, just tell them to go away. Right? Even in the first dream, he says, if they ask you, then you do these things. But in the morning itself, he preempts and he goes and he tells them stuff. He goes and he tells them stuff. And he's always not saying no to them. But he keeps going. And he is seen as a model of someone that loves the world and the lust of the world and the things of this world, even though he knows what God wants him to do. Okay? But we see, sorry. Yes. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to hit Deuteronomy, because we need to find out what the standard of a prophet is, and then we'll continue through the rest of the Old Testament. Once we hit Once we hit Deuteronomy, we're not going to have every passage after that. We're going to have samples so we can fit it into these categories. Okay? So next week, we're going to do Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18. Read it before you come, and let's talk about it. I'll be here for any questions.